welcome into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff from C70 at the Bat and at C70 on Twitter. With me is Tara Wellman from Bird Seeds. Tara Wellman on Twitter and writer of rally songs that unfortunately have just not clicked yet. The songs are great. The team apparently isn't listening. Tara, as we were saying before we started the show, the Cardinals, since we last spoke, have won one game, and they're in the very, very likely process of losing, getting completely swept by the Yankees. I don't know. Like we said, the words just aren't coming nowadays, are they?
There are not words that adequately express what it's been like watching this team this week. And, you know, it's one thing, I think, if you go into a season knowing that you're not putting the most competitive team on the field, knowing that, you know, there are significant injuries or pieces missing. And I would contend that this is not one of the most naturally gifted or just talented rosters in all of baseball, but they're so much better than what we've seen in the last week. And it's not even necessarily that they aren't winning. It's that they're losing really badly. Not even necessarily lopsided scores, just the product that you see on the field is really hard to wrap your head around just 2 weeks into the season. I was telling someone yesterday and again today, they look like a team that is weighed down by the dog days of summer, not the first 2 weeks of a new season. And that's a pretty stark contrast to what we saw in the spring. So it's hard to wrap your head around, at least for me, what we're seeing out of this team right now, because we knew that there were going to be some struggles this year, but this is a whole different level.
Yeah. You know, we kind of went into the season thinking maybe a 90-win team. And again, you could put all the caveats on it. It's only the first 2 weeks of the season, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, if they're going to reach 90 wins now, they have to play at a 94-win clip. And this team just doesn't feel like it's a 94-win team. I mean, it didn't even before the season, much less after this very, very ugly week of baseball. And I think even if this was middle of the season, it's getting to the point where there would be a lot of concerns. Maybe not the sky is falling panic that we have now, because this is all we have for the 2017 season. There are these 12 games, of which the Cardinals have won three, one of those being opening night. So it's even been even worse. It's been a lot of losing and not a lot of winning. But even so, if you go 3-9 over a 12-game span at any time of the season, when your bullpen is giving up runs left and right, where the starting pitching is Mike Leake and everybody else, and when the offense can't hit over 200, nobody's going to be happy with that kind of result, no matter when it is. It's much, much worse when the season starts that way, and it's... You know, I know the Cardinals haven't buried themselves. I think I heard that the Reds are still in the division lead, and they've got five losses. I mean, they're probably only, four games out, even if they lose tonight. But it's hard to imagine this team, the way it's playing right now, making any kind of run. Right now, it's hard enough to make them feel like they're making a run to win a ball game, much less a division.
Yeah, and I think that's what is the most concerning to people watching this team right now. I know it is for me. It's not even that they're about to be 3-9. It's that there just doesn't seem to be... I mean, no one's hitting. No one in the lineup is really hitting, except for Jose Martinez, who only plays like once every 4.5 days. So that's not really helpful. Greg Garcia finally got a start tonight, and he's been hitting a little bit, but we've seen in the past that he seems to be better in limited doses as far as maybe getting a little overexposed at times when he's out there every day. But at this point, it's not even like there's a guy who's playing well that can be the kickstart for the team. No one in the bullpen is pitching well. I mean, right now I'm watching Miguel Sokolovic, who has been pretty solid, look like he's never thrown a baseball before. So that's a good sign. You know, the starters are not looking at all like they did in the spring. And like you suggested the other day, if Mike Leake is going to be the ace of the staff, then you have some serious pitching concerns. You know, we watched Carlos Martinez in his third start of the season look like he was sleepwalking through the first few innings. I mean, I've never seen a team this early in the year with the talent that they do have just look absolutely, it's like they're the walking dead on the field out there. I don't know. It's so strange to me. And it, you know, I know that winning fixes a lot of things, but it seems like this goes beyond the actual wins and losses to just the way that they're coming out to the field every day. And that's very concerning to me. Because you're trying to claw yourself out of a rut, and nobody has the energy to to even make a legitimate attempt at this point. So that's, again, trying to – I feel like I'm just talking myself in circles when I try to talk about this team right now, because there's quite frankly nothing going right.
No, and like you say – the passion or the intensity doesn't seem to be there. And, you know, part of that's, you know, a result of not winning. I mean, it's not necessarily they're not winning because they have no intensity, but it's hard to have intensity when you're not winning. Let's maybe put it that way, you know. So, but also, I mean, we know Mike Matheny's not a fiery, intensive guy. I mean, I can't imagine him going and turning over table and trying to get people's attention. And honestly, if he did it, it probably wouldn't work because it would seem so completely out of character. You know, but I feel like there's, you know, at least in the past, you've had guys that had that ability. You had a John Lackey. You had a Larry Walker. You had a Chris Carpenter. You had guys that could legitimately jump people's cases and get people fired up and get them in the right mindset. And I don't know who does that now. I mean, you know, there was the whole big deal about Dexter Fowler coming in and helping the clubhouse have fun. I don't think they're having fun right now, let's put it that way. But I also don't think that, one, I mean, Dexter Fowler's been there 2 weeks, so it's not like he's going to start jumping. And that's not what they hired him to do. I mean, that's not what they expect him to be. They expect him to be the jovial, help everybody have a good time type of person, but you know, that he's not going to be the guy that comes in and says, look guys, you know, we need to do something different, and you're doing terrible, and you're doing terrible, and go fix it. You know, maybe they need Chris Carpenter to come, you know, if Willie McGee can come help Matt Adams be an outfielder, maybe Chris Carpenter could come in and help Adam Wainwright be a crusty old veteran. I don't know. but they need to do something.
I made that exact argument yesterday to a couple of people, is that, you know, if Chris Carpenter can be convinced to hang out around the clubhouse a little bit, maybe he can be the guy to turn some tables over or, you know, mess up somebody's locker or you get in someone's face. I don't know. But I think that's absolutely a relevant point when you look at this team and just the makeup of this roster. And you know, it's interesting. The Cardinals always make a big deal about how they try to bring in, you know, high quality guys and good character guys, and they have a lot of guys who, as individuals, are incredible human beings. They do amazing things outside of baseball, and I think that is a remarkable thing, and it's a great trait to have as a group. I will say, though, that it almost feels like there are too many nice guys and there's nobody that has, you know, that competitive grit that you saw out of a Chris Carpenter Carpenter or a John Lackey. You know, even AJ Pierzynski. I've never been a Pierzynski fan necessarily, but that was the argument made for John Mozeliak bringing Pierzynski in, was that he gave this team an edge that they didn't have. And, you know, I kind of felt like I maybe naively hoped that the energy that we saw from Yadier Molina and Carlos Martinez in the World Baseball Classic would translate to some extent to the regular season. You know, you probably can't play like that for 162 games. You just can't get up to that level of intensity day in and day out. But we suddenly saw this rejuvenated passion from Molina that I think is what is missing as far as the team dynamic. You know, it's great to have somebody like Dexter Fowler who can come in and make everybody have a good time. But even Dex is hanging his head and we're not seeing the Dexter Fowler who, you know, never really got down on himself even when things weren't going well. He's already down on himself and it's been 2 weeks. I mean, I get he's not playing well, but, you know, you can't bank on that feel good guy to always be the one to rally the troops. Sometimes you need that intensity and that competitive drive and just that aggression that we saw out of Molina in the World Baseball Classic. And the fact that it's so quickly not just faded, but honestly disappeared, is very concerning to me as it pertains to the way that this clubhouse is going to be able to work itself in and out of slumps that inevitably happen over the course of a season.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's just so much that's not going right. Like you said, you know, obviously the bullpen issues are now infecting the few people that are working. We see Sokolovich, you know, struggling now. Matt Bowman looked, he got a good catch out of Dexter Fowler to stay out of trouble tonight, but he didn't look that great. It's gotten to where you don't trust anybody that comes in to put on the mound except for Mike Leake. You know, maybe Trevor Rosenthal, who has, you know, pitched fairly well when he's pitched, but, you know, if you're not going to hit, it's the point where, you know, like tonight, 3-1 in the second inning, and you felt like, well, the game's over. Because this team just doesn't rally. The couple of times they've been able to put up some runs have been more fluke than approach. And again, I mean, there comes a point where you start to say, hey, you know, if, you know, I'm sure there's some Matheny haters out there that would say Matheny's already sucked the fun out of Dexter Fowler, which is a pretty impressive feat for a guy that, you know, was bouncing and buoyant on the Cubs even. To be kind of, like you said, hanging his head already. He's struggling, but we don't see that smile very much already. And I hate that. We're already looking at that. There's just really no easy solution to this team right now. Because I'm still concerned, even if the offense just kind of clicked and started putting up 4 or 5 runs a night, I don't know that there's any guarantee that would, I mean, they'd win a few more games, but I don't know if that's enough to get them going the way that the pitching staff's going. And I think it's very hard to expect that this whole package is going to all of a sudden start to work. The defense is going to start to work, the pitching and offense. And I think it was a very telling stat that was on ESPN tonight that the Cardinals were, you know, within the last 5 teams in hitting, in the last 5 teams in pitching, and the last 5 teams in defense. It's not surprising. They're one of the last 5 teams in baseball.
Yeah, you know, when you put those 3 categories together and you're at the bottom of all of them, odds are not very good that you're going to be a good baseball team. And, you know, now Sokolovich is absolutely getting shelled at this point. So it's hard to find, it's hard to put a finger on what's going to fix this team. Unless you just say, hey, guys that are hitters, start hitting. Mm-hmm. And guys that are pitchers, do your job. But that's a lot easier said than done. And I think that's why, I don't know, I keep harping on this team dynamic thing, but to me, it's so it's so clear and it's so concerning. It's very disconcerting to see Dexter Fowler and to see Carlos Martinez and to see Yadier Molina and even guys like Colton Wong and Matt Adams and Adam Wainwright, guys that have that energy, that have that fire, that are sort of the high energy guys that you bank on to sort of rally around when things aren't going well. I mean, it's just, it's so hard to work your way out of a slump like this anyway, that when no one has any, I don't know, I keep using the word energy, but it honestly looks like they're sleepwalking through every pitch of every game this week. And I don't know, you know as well as anyone, that I've never been a blame Matheny person, because I think there are always multiple layers to the circumstances. But I think that if you're banking on a guy who's not the strongest strategically because of the way that he works with people, this is the moment where he needs to shine. This is the opportunity where he has to be able to be the one in the clubhouse to figure out what sort of the heartbeat of this team is going to be. And I know that we all, as Cardinals fans, give Joe Maddon a hard time for being a little too eccentric. But the reality is he's right on top of what the personality and what the vibe and what the energy of his team is. And I think that's why you see it translate so visibly on the field. I think maybe what we're seeing is that old adage that a team tends to reflect the personality of its manager. And Mike Matheny's not only not a fun person, but I just don't think he has he's not necessarily fun. He's a nice guy for most intents and purposes. He's not the one that's going to flip tables over. He's not the one that's going to get in fights with the media and post-game pressers. He's just kind of going to tell you time and time again, I'm sure it'll all be okay. And that's the personality that the team is starting to take on. And it's, I don't know that there's been, you know, this clubhouse-wide rule established that no one can have fun anywhere ever. I don't know that it's a in the books rule like that, but I just think that what we're seeing is perhaps a reflection of the way that Matheny goes about his business, and an expectation that the players follow suit. But a lot of these players are not that kind of guy. So now, to go back to the strategy, you have guys playing in positions that they shouldn't be playing in, and you have them trying to take on this approach or take on this mentality that doesn't do service to the kind of person and the kind of player they are. And add to that the fact that they're not winning, and you have, I mean, it's like a funeral home watching the dugout. I mean, it's unbelievable just how dramatic that team dynamic has shifted from just a few weeks ago in Florida.
Yeah, I hope they never win 20 games in spring training ever again, because apparently they won them all in Florida and then just quit. As Brendan Schaefer just put out on Twitter, the Blues have as many playoff wins this week as the Cardinals have total wins all season, and that's I don't follow hockey much. I don't think that's good. I just doesn't feel right. I know John Mozeliak is one that would, I feel like we'll have some roster changes before tomorrow night's game. I don't know what they're going to be. I think Tyler Lyons did he pitch today? He may pitch yesterday. He pitches tomorrow morning. It wouldn't be too surprising to see Tyler Lyons not get that start in Memphis. And come back up to the big leagues. If I don't know what else they can do, though. I think this is a roster that is fairly stagnant in more than one way, and part of that is because without, you know, a trade, which John Mozeliak is not going to make trades in the first 2 weeks of the season. John Mozeliak doesn't make trades in the first 4 months of the season a lot of times. but he's not going to make trades right now. You're going to have to rely on minor league call-ups, and there's not those kind of people to swap out. I mean, we've already got to the point where if the Cardinals want to bring up Tyler Lyons, and they have to here pretty soon because his rehab is going to run out, I mean, they're probably going to hopefully will cut Jonathan Broxton, because the only other option is to cut Sokolovich, which, I mean, granted he had a bad night tonight, but he's one of the few, you know, guys in the bullpen that has an ERA under 10, and or to demote Matt Bowman, who is really the only guy that's actually pitching well out there. So, you know, I don't know that that's enough of a shakeup, but you can't bring up a Harrison Bader. We got too many outfielders it is, apparently, except for the guy that can play outfield. Then we put him at first base. You've got, you know, the middle infield is pretty set because it's either keep them or trade them. The options are not a very good. There's not that many people that have options.
Are you still there? I think I lost you.
No, I'm still ranting, Sarah. Don't worry about it. I hadn't paused for breath yet, so you're fine. I don't know what they can do. And that, I think, is the most frustrating thing, because you look at this team, and it's not like, okay, you bring up Harrison Bader, or, okay, Tyler Lyons is coming up. That will fix the little bit of a problem we have. There's a huge, it feels like a huge issue with the whole team, and there's no easy way to solve that, and that makes you feel like this is what we're going to see the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think that's the really difficult part, is that it doesn't seem like this is, you know, it's not a matter of injuries like we've seen in the past. It's not a matter of, you know, your middle of the order bat that just hasn't heated up yet. It's not about, you know, Trevor Rosenthal not being able to close down games. It's not one thing. And, you know, we always say that winning solves a lot of things, but I don't know how they start winning with the multidimensional problems that they have right now. So if winning is the only cure for the energy factor and the ability to win is lessened because they're not playing as sharp as they would with more energy, you know, it's just this vicious cycle that I don't know how you break out of it, especially when you seem to have a manager that doesn't know how to help them break out of it. I mean, to be fair to Mike Matheny, that's a tough ask right now, is to try to solve the problems of the 2017 St. Louis Cardinals. But that's why they're paying him to do it and not me. So these guys need to, you know, it seems silly almost to talk about a team meeting, a players only meeting after the second week of the season. But you almost feel like that's what needs to happen on some level, that these guys have to look each other in the eyes and figure out who they're going to be this year, because, if they don't change something, they're going to find themselves as one of the worst teams in baseball all season.
Yeah, and again, like you said, even if you try to do a players' meeting, you know, who leads that? Who does? Who
right.
gets them in that? I mean, is it a meeting of guys? We need to do better. Things will turn around. And you're right. It's kind of that idea they've taken on from Matheny. And, you know, I think in an organization that was less conservative, if there was less deliberate, and I'm not suggesting that that's a bad thing for the Cardinals to be, don't get me wrong, but they are conservative, deliberate. I think a different organization would be looking at perhaps letting Mike Matheny go. Because you missed the playoffs, you know, it's pretty much been downhill from the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, I know they won 100 games in 15, but, you know, a first-round exit in the playoffs. You missed the playoffs completely last year, and then you've got a team that right now does not appear to be, you know, really listening. I don't know why I say listening, but they don't seem to be inspired by their manager. Or maybe they are, and that's the problem. So, you know, I think there are some organizations that would say, hey, we're going to, you know, this is the kick in the butt that you're going to need because we can't do anything else. You can't fire all the players. You can't do a whole lot of transactions right now. But we can bump Matheny out and go get somebody else. Now, the problem with that is they probably go to Mike Shield as the, you know, the manager. And I don't know that anybody on this coaching staff is a significantly different personality than Mike Matheny is.
Right.
We just don't know. I mean, we haven't seen them. But the idea, they may have better tactics. I'm pretty sure they have better tactics. They might not decide that Matt Adams is a great outfielder. But would that...
Well, that's already an improvement, so I'm down.
This is true. I mean, this is fair. I mean, they might actually let the guy that's hitting 500 on the season, you know, play every once in a while, except for, you know, just those times against Aroldis Chapman, because we don't have to see him anymore. You know, so Jose Martinez, I guess, can sit on the bench the rest of the year. you know, I just feel like... I don't know if that'd be enough, but it might be at least something to stir this thing up, because this is a clubhouse that has pretty much, except for the trade for John Lackey a couple years ago, there has not been a whole lot of shakeups in the last 5 years. It's a team that has turned over roster at times, but nothing dramatic, I don't think. And that may be the kick they need. I don't know. I don't know if that would make any difference. I think sometimes, you know, firing the manager is an overrated response. And they're not going to. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, although I never thought the Cardinals would be this bad this year, I can't imagine that. I mean, they would have to be, like, in last place at the All-Star break by a lot, I think, for Mike Matheny to even be questioning whether his job was not secure. Am I wrong?
No, and even then, I think if they wait till the All-Star break, they're not going to fire him this season. Sure. It might be an off-season move, right. But if they wait that long, there's no point. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to save this season if you wait till July. But I do think it's an interesting – they're in really uncharted territory. And like I said, I've never been a fire Matheny bandwagoner because I think that much of the argument that has been made in the past is a little bit overblown, in my opinion. However, I think that when you're looking at this from the perspective of, you know, they're not losing because of purely strategic decisions at this point. I mean, we can talk all we want about Matt Adams in left field or about how the bullpen has been used, but let's be completely honest about that. There's no one outside of Matt Bowman who has pitched well out of the bullpen. So how you use a bullpen that's not pitching well is a bit of an unfair task at this point. But I don't think that you can look at the way that they have started this season and really focus on the strategic mistakes. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there's not a way to fix the roster with one move or, you know, a domino effect of one move. So really the only movable piece that could shift things, that could change the dynamic, hold that thought. Pete Cosma just came in the game, so I just had to get my shout out. that's the highlight of this series. But anyway, the only real movable piece that could create the kind of shakeup that I think we all think this team needs is the manager. And I say that as a person, I told somebody just on Twitter earlier that I hate that I'm having to say that because while I've been frustrated with Mike Matheny in a number of respects over his tenure as the Cardinals manager, I've always wanted to be in his corner enough that maybe someday he could actually be okay at his job. but I feel like when you look at the way this team has started the season, the only piece that seems to resolve anything is changing the manager. But I do think you're right in that I don't know that there's the right change within the coaching staff right now. So I'm not sure even that is going to be significant enough of a change unless, similar to a basketball coach trying to get a technical foul called or trying to get thrown out of the game to revitalize his team. Mike Matheny has to work really hard to get thrown out of games. I'm not sure that one game getting thrown out of is really going to change anything, but the idea being that sometimes it's just the fact that a change was made that can be the fire that reignites and makes some changes. So we're talking about all of this entirely hypothetically because I completely agree. I don't think that you give Mike Matheny a long-term extension and then 2 weeks into the season fire him. But I also don't think you put together this team and think they're going to be 2-9 in the first 2 weeks of the season either. So, you know, the plans are great before the season actually begins, and then you have to deal with what reality sets in, and right now reality is pretty bad.
Well, and that's, I mean, that's why so many people questioned not giving Mike Matheny the extension, but giving him a 3-year deal. I mean, you're right. If you had extended him another year, that would have probably, because I think this would have been his last year of the contract. So you give him another year extension, and that's 2 years, and you could fire him now without without a whole lot of, but you're right. You turn around and say, hey, you know, here's a 3-year extension, so you're got you for another 4 years. You don't typically, although, you know, Alan Craig might suggest that, you know, the long-term contracts are not that viable, given how long he was a Cardinal after one. But still, that's just, again, you're right. They're not going to do that. And so, you know, where you go from here, I don't know. We've gone for 30 minutes, but, you know, we've barely scratched the surface, I feel like. And so while we're here, let's go ahead and talk one more thing that'll probably take for a while. What does the team do? What can the team do? What should happen with Adam Wainwright? If I know that Wainwright has gotten only through the fifth and one start. He typically throws about 100 pitches in those 4 or 5 innings that he's out there. He does not seem to be fooling a whole lot of people. He'll get some strikeouts, but it feels like, you know, we expected a lot. We expected a rebound from 2016 Adam Wainwright, and so far it feels more like we're getting a repeat.
I have made the point with Adam Wainwright really since we started to see the downturn last season that if he wants to continue to be effective for this team, I really think he can. But I think that he has to be willing to acknowledge that he can't pitch the same way anymore. And I know that he's made comments that, you know, if I get to the point where I feel like what I'm doing isn't working, then I'll change. Well, I think we're to that point. I think we found the breaking point. I think that it's a struggle for someone like Waino who has always been a guy that, maybe thinks of, I don't want to say that he thinks of himself more highly than is accurate, but he just believes in the competitiveness that he brings to the field day in and day out. And that's worked great for him over the course of his career. He's been that competitor. He's had that edge. But I think part of the reason you don't see much of an edge from this team right now, even from Waino, is because he doesn't have the same stuff that he had once before. So we've the interviews after the game tonight and talk about how he found something and knows why it wasn't working and he knows what he needs to change. And all of that's great. But it's a lot easier to say that in a post-game press conference than to actually go out and make those changes. You know, we heard this spring about how he'd rediscovered the grip on his curveball and how it was going to be so much better. And we hear all of the things that are, I'm sure, sort of that internal monologue in Adam Wainwright's head about how he can still be the guy that he always was. But what I would rather see from Adam Wainwright, and I think what we're going to have to see if, in fact, he's going to be competitive as a starting pitcher in the major leagues is, yeah, I know that's what I did before, but what I'm going to do now is, and figure out a different way. That's what you see from all of these great starting pitchers in baseball history who were able to pitch farther into their careers than anyone really anticipated. They didn't stay the same guy. They adapted with the way that their stuff changed over the years. And that's where Adam Wainwright is right now. If he refuses to change because he wants to be the guy that he was 4 years ago, then he's not going to be successful. And the Cardinals are going to have to either just wear one every 5 days or maybe not start him in a fly ball danger zone like Yankee Stadium. But if he can himself acknowledge, okay, I don't have to be that Cy Young caliber guy to still be an effective starter, then I think he's smart enough and he's skilled enough to be able to make some of those changes. But he's not going to do that if he doesn't think he needs to. And that's, I think, the crossroads where he is right now.
Yeah, I think that's I think they're right. I think that fly ball is an issue, because even what we saw in the first game where he pitched well were some fairly deep fly balls in Busch Stadium, which does play as a pitcher's ballpark. When he got on the road here to Yankee Stadium, where he pitched, against the Nationals, the ballpark was not necessarily kind to that kind of style of pitching. I don't know if he needs to learn how to, go talk to Mike Leake and see if he can get a whole lot of people hitting the ball on the ground. I don't know what he needs to do, but you're right. He's going to have to make some adjustments. And I'm sure we'll hear, like you say, we'll hear him say that he's figured it out, or he'll work on it, or he's getting close. But honestly, I don't really want to hear that anymore.
Right.
Because we have heard that a lot last year. It was kind of that idea, well, I've gotten my legs under me now, so, I'm back. Or, oh, I just need to make this change, and now I'm back. And, you might get a good start or so after that kind of comment, but then it didn't last. I'd just rather him go out there and throw two good starts in a row and then tell us what's wrong, But, right. Some of that is what the media asks, whether they're mediocre reporters or not.
That's going to stick around for a long time.
we still use low-hanging fruit for John Mozeliak. I'm pretty sure mediocre reporters from Yadier Molina is going to be one of those things that we use quite some time.
Just to your point about what we'll hear from Adam Wainwright, I think that kind of circles back to where this conversation started, in that, this is a team that is about to go 2-9, or 3-9, rather. It feels like 2-9, to open the season. And they'll come out after the game and tell you, yeah, we're struggling right now, but we'll figure it out. I don't want them to, in the post-game interviews, say, yeah, we're struggling, but we'll figure it out. I want someone, anyone, to say, man, this has been a really rough go, and we're having a hard time figuring out how to get back on track. Because it seems like there's this team-wide, and I think it starts with Mike Matheny, philosophy that almost if we say it loud enough, long enough, it'll happen. And I'm quite frankly tired of hearing them talk about how it's going to get better. I'd rather them just acknowledge where they are and that it's perfectly acceptable to be frustrated and to be a little worked up about the way that they've started their season. I just would give anything to see anyone with some sort of competitive, emotion after the start that they've had, as opposed to, I think we're real close.
Yeah, as silly as I thought it might be, and as little as you'd want to give credit to the Cubs and Joe Maddon, it might not be a bad thing if Dexter Fowler dug out his try not to suck shirt and hung it up in the dugout and then the clubhouse and said, yeah, look, guys, let's do this. Again, it's difficult to say. I mean, we talk about this like there's things that they can do, and I'm sure there are adjustments. But they're out there trying to play. I mean, we're not questioning the fact that they're trying to play, and they're trying to do well, and sometimes baseball just doesn't work out. But it does feel like this has gone on long enough that, that some corrections need to be made, and it's hard for us to see at this on this side that they're getting made. You know, maybe they are. Maybe there are things that are going to take a while. Maybe there's more going on behind the scenes than we know. But, you know, all we can do is judge on what we see. And so take it for that kind of grain of salt when you're listening to us. But it is just a very, I mean, it's a very frustrating time. And it's a time, again, as Cardinal fans, we're not used to this. And whether you can call it spoiled or whether you can call it, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, the Cardinals now have matched their the worst start since 1988. And that year they went 76 games. The 1990 team that finished last was 5-5 after 10 and 5-7 maybe at this point. I don't know. Anyway, they had 5 wins at this point. You know, this is bad. And this is not something that you want to edit. That feels like it's going to turn around. So, you know, the Cardinals get to go home for 3 games, get the Pirates for 3 games, who just are coming off a sweep of the Cubs. So that's, you got that going for you, which is nice. And then you go to Milwaukee for 4. And I got to say, if there's any place that could get this team going, it's going to Miller Park in Milwaukee, because it seems like they've always done well up there.
Yeah, if they can't put together a couple of wins in Milwaukee, then we're in for it. Let me tell you. You know, it's interesting looking at the NL Central right now, because none of it's really playing out according to plan. So if there's a glimmer of hope, I think it's that no one expected the Reds to be what they've been in the first 2 weeks. The Cubs have looked quite human in the first 2 weeks. In fact, after the Pirates completed the sweep today, I texted a buddy of mine and I said, so are the Pirates actually good or what's going on? And he said, no, the Cubs bullpen is just terrible right now. And I was like, oh, well, that's good, except ours is too.
Yes.
So maybe the Pirates aren't quite as good as you would expect after sweeping the Cubs, but they won based on the same weakness that seems to be perhaps the largest weakness for the Cardinals, although I think the under 200 starting lineup is probably not far behind that. So, you know, there's no time like the present. I mean, if you want to make a move in the division, you've got 2 series in a row that are a good opportunity to do that. But I think that the concerning thing is that, as we've made quite clear, it doesn't seem like the struggles they have had are going to be resolved overnight, unless somehow Chris Carpenter meets them at the airport tonight and forces them all to stay on the plane until they figure out how to play better baseball, which is not a terrible idea. So, Chris Carpenter, get on that.
Yeah, it feels like Tony La Russa would have taken this team and made them, you know, take them back to St. Louis and then get them off the plane and make them go do infield or go have batting practice or do something to get kicked into gear. You're right. I mean, the division is still kind of, you know, the Reds are 8-5. The Brewers are 7-6. So you got those two teams that were supposed to lose 100 games each leading the division. You got to figure you're not out of it yet. you know, and then you're still 3 games now. I mean, after 2 weeks, you're 3 games out of 4th. You know, you may be that close to the front, but there's a lot of teams to climb over. Again, early, but I feel like, you know, if the Cardinals, I mean, they got to win more than just the one game this week, I think.
Yeah.
But if they don't win, they kind of need to win at least 3 of these games, I think. I mean, they've got 7 games this week, no off days. If they don't win 3 against the Pittsburgh or the Pirates and the Brewers, boy, I think you really start to wonder if this team can turn around, because then you're getting close to the end of April, and, you know, that's a month gone. When you start hitting, flipping the calendar, it gets late early, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's why I don't think it's I don't think there's a whole lot of room to say it's early for much longer, because while technically, yes, it is, you know, it's one thing to say it's early if you lost one of the first four series on the season. If you lose them all, it's early becomes a less relevant excuse, I think. And you know, it being early does not change the fact that no one in your lineup is hitting, that the bullpen is a complete disaster, and that you maybe have one of your five starters that you think is going to go out and pitch a good game, and that one is the guy you would have expected to be your number five starter. So those odds aren't great for that to continue either. So it's early is a nice way to try to say, hey, there's a lot of season left, but you can also bury yourself pretty early as well. And if you can't get out there this week, if the Cardinals can't go out there this week, get back home and win at least one of the series against a division foe, then, you know, if they weren't in serious trouble before, they certainly will be then.
Yeah, it's as frustrating as a time we've seen, I think, in a long, long time. And hopefully next week when Tara and I get together, we can talk about the stuff that's going on and be somewhat positive instead of just, you know, trading off rants. but until then, we will just have to wait and see. So until then, until next week, I'm Daniel. That's Tara. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us five of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.